Good morning, everybody. God bless you. I'd like to open up in prayer, if I may. Is that all right? Father, we thank you for this special day, that this is the day that the Lord has made. So we make a decision to be glad and to rejoice in it. Thank you for the Word of God, which is rich and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as the word goes out this morning, I pray that there'll be hearts that will be changed, lives that will be changed, the direction of some people's lives will be changed, and they'll be walking in victory, in overcoming victory. And so, Father, we thank you that you speak through me words of life, encouragement, edification in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If you and I are going to fulfill the will of God in our lives, then if we want to be disciples of all men, then I've got a word for you this morning. And I've got the word is that I've taken from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, nor by power." Speaking there about the human power. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This tells me that all things are possible for you and me by the Spirit of the living God." If you're a believer, then you need to say amen. But without the Spirit of the living God, we are no threat, ladies and gentlemen, to the kingdom of darkness. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be victorious in this life as Christians and to set an example for the world out there that this is the way that we need to walk. Amen? We sang the song this morning, "There's fire, fire in the house." You need to believe it. You need to walk in that fire. You and I, as believers who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we become ignited with His firepower. You know what happens? We become battering rams against the gates of hell. And so, I want to speak this morning about the ignition key that switches that power on for you and me. And that's the title of my message this morning, "The Holy Spirit, Your Ignition Key." Your ignition key to switch on the power that's required for you to walk in the victory that Jesus walked in. It's possible for you and for me. There are many, many believers who do not understand how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, my sincere aim this morning is to make you fully aware of the work of the Holy Spirit. My desire this morning is to impact you dramatically so that you come to understand what it means to walk in this awesome power that God has made available to us. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells me, when the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, it looked like there were flames of fire that settled on the top of each of their heads. And I found it amazing that God would use fire to represent the power that He promised for you and me. Acts chapter 1, and I want to read just the first part of verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then it goes further to say, when we speak about the fire power, it speaks about this. Listen to this. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to verse 4. "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, this church is called the Pentecostal Holiness Church." Pentecost must be the time where we understand power. power of God working through you and me as believers. We need to impact Krugersdorp with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fire is an awesome element that God uses to represent His Holy Spirit. Fire, ladies and gentlemen, is dangerous and consuming. Fire is ravenous and relentless. Fire is powerful and destructive. As a young boy, I was born in Zambia as a young boy on my granny's farm. In those forests there, the grass grows to be higher than a man. And when there's a bushfire in Zambia, it is the most awesome, frightening sight. It consumes everything in its path. And so when God speaks about the fact that He's an all-consuming fire, you need to understand the power that there is available for you and me as Christians. Amen? He is an all-consuming fire, and He wants to dwell within you and work through you to touch the hearts and the lives of other people. He's an all-consuming fire. When we allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, the Holy Spirit will consume sin, He'll consume sickness, He'll consume disease and any oppression that holds people bondage. It's the ignition key. It's the ignition key for you and me to switch on, to change the lives of people and set the captives free. Amen? I was, as I was preparing this message, I remember one occasion in 1988, I was the worship leader for Pastor Nicky van der Westhuizen, an evangelist who had a tent out there in Roodepoort that seated 5,000 people. I was the music director. And we were busy in the worship service. And there were some Satanists that decided to come into the church and upset the church. And they were sitting in the front row. And the moment when we began to worship God, the moment we began to go into deep worship of the Lord, these guys decided to stand up and disturb the service. You know what happened? In the midst of this deep worship, as they stood up, the Holy Spirit, in His destructive firepower, knocked them over. They fell to the ground, and they began to just lie there useless like they were dead. And we had to carry them out into a little tent on the side there. And we gave them the gospel. And they received Jesus as Lord and Savior. God turns what seems to be a failure into victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's the manifest power of the Holy Spirit that is an all-consuming fire. All-consuming. Demons scream in His presence, and captives are set free. Now, you might be saying to yourself now, as you're seated here, well, if only I was a pastor or one of the leaders of this church, I could have the same authority and also do great things for God. Well, you can. You can. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a pastor. I love the story of Stephen. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, therefore, brethren, sisteren, children, Seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And of course, one of those men was Stephen. This is what verse 8 says. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. It's important for me to tell you that God wants to work through you just as mightily as he worked through Stephen. Do you understand that? He wants to work through you. But you need to be full of faith. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because he is your ignition key to switch on the supernatural in your Christian life when you go out and minister to people. Amen? Here's something interesting. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, Father God was not going to be left out of this situation. He was eager to baptize Jesus as well, but not with water, rather with the Holy Spirit. Listen, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Then Jesus, when he had been baptized in the water, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. There's the fire. Alighting upon him. There's the fire. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so we see here, Jesus sets a pattern for you and me and for every believer to follow. Once you are saved and water baptized, the next step for you is the infilling. It is the infilling, because the one goes with the other. The one goes with the other. Now here's something interesting. Before Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he performed no mighty works. But after he was filled, he became unstoppable in performing signs and wonders and miracles wherever he went. God wants the same for you and me. Amen. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. When you are a believer filled with the Holy Spirit, the fire power of God dwells within you to do greater things than you ever believed before. When you begin to pray for other people and minister to other people. I'm here this morning to encourage you that there's more for you as a Christian. Not just to come to church on a Sunday, but every day, where you are in your home fellowships, where you are in your business or your work situations, wherever you are, you can make a difference in the lives of other people. Amen? If Jesus needed the baptism and the Holy Spirit to do miraculous works, then so do you. For each of us as believers, salvation, of course, is the most precious gift that God can give to us. But the second most priceless gift for you and me, for every new believer, is to be baptized by Jesus himself with the Holy Spirit and fire. It's your ignition key. It's your ignition key to switch on the power of God. When I speak about the Holy Spirit and fire, one of my favorite scriptures on this subject is Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. It's so powerful. And it's John the Baptist speaking. This is what he said. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry." Listen, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, in you dwells the fire of God, for you to do great things for God. If he can use that old man like me, he can use you. Amen. He can use you. Without the baptism and the Holy Spirit, the Great Commission would have become the Great Omission. We would have missed out. And it's important for me to point out something very important here. In this next scripture, Jesus is talking to the disciples just before he went up to heaven. And he spoke again about two baptisms. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. He says here, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So the first baptism is with water. The second part of that scripture, Jesus promises his disciples that they will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. I read it just now, but I want to say this. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues." We see the word used there is filled. So the word baptized has been changed to the word filled. And there's a reason for that. Why? Why the change in grammar in that sentence? Because the Lord does not want us to believe that being baptized with His Spirit is only an outward experience, like water baptism. Being baptized with water is the wetting of the outer man. But it's important because it symbolizes that Christ died for you and me. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit fills us with Himself on the inside. So you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. When I have a glass of water and I want to fill it to the top, I fill. You are full of the Holy Spirit. If I had to ask for a show of hands here, who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I won't do that, but listen to me. Each and every one of you are full of the Holy Spirit and His power. You have that key. All you have to do, switch on the key for you to operate in the same power. He's your ignition key. I want to explain it to you another way. Excuse me. I want to explain it to you another way. In South Africa, we love having braais. Amen? We love having barbecues. So when we want to flavor the meat, we soak it in a special sauce before we cook the meat. Amen? You know what happens? We marinate the meat. We marinate. And so after we braise the meat, the taste is enhanced. The taste is much better, because it's been saturated with the marinade sauce. In the same way, when you and I are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are marinated in Him. We are saturated in Him. We go into Him and He comes into us. Amen? That's why the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." People taste of you. It's a permanent experience, and it's a free gift from God to every believer. So how do you know you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the sign. A heavenly language begins to bubble out of you, begins to bubble out of your innermost being. It's like the smoke coming from the fire. When that happens, it is the Holy Spirit praying through you to God. And you'll speak a language that cannot be understood by human intellect. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, "For he or she who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mystery." Nobody understands you when you speak in tongues. It's your own language, your own particular language. Your language is like your thumbprints, like your fingerprint. It's only for you. My language is different to yours. Yours is different to mine. You know, I've discovered that when I speak in tongues, all of my words end in a vowel. A-E-I-O-U. It's amazing. When I speak in tongues, I realize every word I speak ends in a vowel. The normal languages all over the world are not like that. That's just my language, I'm sorry. But it's incredible. So when you pray in tongues, it builds you up, it edifies you, and it refreshes your spirit. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always with you and me, and He shapes our words and our hands to be like fiery arrows, making an impact to help to deliver people for healings, for signs, for wonders, and for miracles. The Holy Spirit is our partner in the miraculous. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit is your power partner. He's your electrical switch. He's your ignition key. So when we pray for people, when we minister to people, that same power becomes a fire that flows through our hands to touch the lives of other people. A young man, a father came to see me with his young teenage son who'd been involved in drugs. And he said to his son, "Do you want to go to a clinic or do you want me to take you to my friend, my pastor friend who will pray for you?" And he said, "I want to go to the pastor friend," because he knew if he went to the clinic, he'd have to go there for several weeks. So he came to me. I sat him down on the chair and I simply laid my hand upon him in the name of Jesus, sitting on the chair, and his head became like fire. My hands were fire. His head was fire. And I said just simple words, "In the name of Jesus, loose him," and set him free. He's free today. It's the fire power of the Holy Spirit that sets the captives free. And it doesn't belong to you and me. We're just the vessels that carry that fire power. I want to read you a letter here that was sent to me. Hi, Pastor T. A lot of people call me Pastor T, not Pastor Ted. Hi, Pastor T. You prayed for my wife's back problem, and she is healed ever since. Praise God. You prayed for Mumpsy's friend, because Mumpsy's friend wasn't at the meeting. This was a home fellowship meeting. Mumpsy's friend wasn't there. She was ill. She was at home. So it says, you prayed for Mumpsy's friend who suffered from cancer, and you asked Mumpsy to go and lay hands on her friend. I said to her, "Give me your hands." I laid my hands upon her hands, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I loose the power of God." And this is what happened. You asked Mumpsy to go and lay hands on her friend for the manifestation of healing. Mumpsy did that, and last week her friend was in hospital, and the doctors said they could not find the cancer in her womb anymore. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the fire power of God that dwells in you and in me. It's not about me, it's about Him. It's not about me, it's about the Spirit of God that lives through you to touch the lives of other people. I want to encourage you this morning that there's more for you than just being a Christian. God wants to use you to touch the lives of other people wherever you are. Now, you don't have to go around with a big mouth saying, "You know what, I pray for people and they get healed." God doesn't want that. He wants you to make a difference. You know, before I was in the ministry, when I was working here in Krugersdorp, in a plant here in Krugersdorp, people used to come to me and ask me to pray for them. I didn't have a big mouth to tell everybody that I was a Christian and I prayed for people. You don't have to do that. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is an aura about you. There's something different about you. You're filled with the Holy Spirit and His firepower. I want to encourage you, go and make a difference. I have a saying, if you provide the voice and the touch, God provides the power and the punch. We, you and I, we are in a partnership with God. Listen to this. We provide the natural element, that's our hands. We provide the words and the hands. God provides the supernatural element, and He provides the power in the hands. The devil will always come and whisper in your ear, what if nothing happens when you pray? Have you ever had that? I have. What will happen if when you pray for them, nothing happens? A lot of people shrink back and they say, well, I'm not going to pray anymore because what if? But I'm here to tell you that that's not your responsibility. God simply expects you to lay hands and to pray by faith. That's all, in the name of Jesus. You know what? It's the name of Jesus that activates the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus. We can never be without His name. The Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, is a spirit of action. Spirit of action. Before I retired from the Rhema Church, I've been retired from there now for 3 years, but before I did that, there was a young lady, one of the secretaries from one of the other offices, that came to sit in my office and speak to me. She said to me, she's 25 years old, she said to me, I've been diagnosed with cancer in the womb. Will you please pray for me? I didn't feel anointed. I didn't feel full of fire. I didn't feel full of power. I simply laid my hands upon her head and I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this cancer. Nothing happened. She left. And I said to her, what you need to do is to go and see the doctor. Let him examine you. She phoned me back and she said to me, they've examined me completely. There's no sign of cancer in the womb anymore. It's the fire power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to enthuse you this morning. I want you to be excited about the fact that it's not me here and you there. We are all together in this thing to touch the lives of other people. God wants to use you and you and you and you and you and you. There's more for you. If God can use an 80-year-old man like me, He can use you. Amen. Power. I cannot come here this morning and just preach a nice little soft message to you. That's not what I'm called to do. In these late stages of my life, God is calling me to encourage the people to stand up and for God to use them to touch their lives. Krugersdorp needs you. Krugersdorp needs you. God wants to do mighty things for you. I want to, Pastor Keith, with your permission, after the service, I'd like to go to the prayer room. If there's anybody here, two kinds of people. If there's anybody here, you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want to pray for you personally. Not here, but in the room there. And if there's some of you people here who understand what I said this morning about the ignition key and about the fact that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but God's not, or rather you're not releasing that power to touch the lives of the people. I want to pray for you. The Bible says that we need to lay hands and stir up the gift in you. Stir it up. That you become excited about the fact that God wants to use you. Not just Pastor Keith and me. He wants to use you. Just as important. Amen? Amen. But be careful that you're sensitive when you go out to other places and you speak to other people. Amen. Don't have a big mouth when you're at a birthday party and tell everybody else that you want to pray for them and mess the party up. I think God will mess you up. Just be sensitive. Amen. Let's stand, please. Did you learn something today? Raise your hands, please. Raise your hands to God. Father, these hands that are raised up this morning, I bless them in Jesus' name. I bless every man, woman, and child that's here. I bless them with your blessing in the name of Jesus. Touch hearts, touch lives. I pray that from today, Krugersdorp will never be the same. I release your power, I release your blessing upon each and every person that's here. And I thank you. Thank you for growth of this ministry in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you lots. Thank you for inviting me. I hope that I haven't upset you and that you're not going to invite me again. Because if you don't, I'm going to come anyway.